Good morning, everybody. Just catching my breath. I had a huddle service running back up. Wish everybody a wonderful Lagboima today, which for some of us means if you've got a babysitter kids down the school. Going to continue with the halachas of Roshuyos and caring, the halachas of the various domains, what we can do between them, what we can and cannot do. So to give a short summary, we discussed that there are four Roshuyos, four different domains in Shabbos, namely Roshus Hayochid, Roshus Harabim, Karmelis, and Makom Turim. Roshus Hayochid is the private domain, something that is enclosed and has proper mechitzas, owned by one person, would be, not one person, privately owned, would be considered Roshus Hayochid. Roshus Harabim, we said, is the public domain, which is not covered, open on all sides, at least 16 amas wide, and according to some also requires a traffic of over 600,000 people. We then had a area which fits neither category. It does not have the definitions of a Roshus Hayochid, but nor does it have the definition of a Rabbi. We call them a Karmelis, which means that according to the Torah, it does not get defined as Roshus Harabim. Therefore, there is no issur to carry in such an area. The only issur is Roshus Harabim. Chazal says that since it doesn't have the definitions of a proper Roshus Hayachid, so that Makom is also asur, it's also to be Rabbana. Then we said the last case is a Makom Tur. Makom Tur is something which lacks normal definitions, such as a place that is smaller than 4x4 tochen, which is approximately a square foot, or larger than that, but approximately a square foot, smaller than a square foot than a contour, or, although Roshus Hayochid would say that the defines of Roshus Hayochid go up to the heavens, that means anywhere above an area that is defined as Roshus Hayochid is still considered Roshus Hayochid, but Roshus Harabim is limited, that the defines of Roshus Harabim, or Karmelis, are limited to up to 10 tefachim. Above that is a Makom Tur. So if you would throw something from one Roshus Hayochid to another Roshus Hayochid, if you make sure that that projectile always remains above 10 tefachim, so then what you've done is you've taken something from one Roshus Hayochid to another Roshus Hayochid, derech Makom Tur, and perhaps there will be mutter, that's a discussion in itself, but at least it's not considered as having gone through a Roshus Harabim. That was the basic outline of the four different Roshuyos. We then said that the main problem of carrying, there's carrying, which means moving from one domain to another. If you take something out of Roshus Hayochid into Roshus Harabim, or the opposite, that would be the issur of carrying. Doesn't matter how far you took it, as long as you crossed the border, you went over from one side to another, that is as carrying on Shabbos, removing it from one Roshus and placing it in another Roshus, which becomes, and that applies to Roshus Harabim, Roshus Hayochid, who also made a Rabban on the fact of the Karmelis, which means that if you live in a city without an Eruv, and you have a Shabbos belt, and you arrive at your front door, and you now take off the Shabbos belt, and open and unlock the door, and swing the door open, what happens is that your key is moving from the Roshus Harabim, or at least Roshus Harabim, the Rabban, depending on what city and how you pass it, is moving from the street into the home. So that is carrying the keys from one place to another. One should be careful in such cases, either not to remove the belt or unlock the door, take the key out the lock and don't open the door till you've put the belt on again. And now when you cross over the threshold from the public place to the private place, you're wearing the belt and therefore it's considered part of your garments and it's no problem of carrying. Or if your doorway is a deeper doorway, so you can say that the public domain ended before the doorway and you've already entered into the private property. But that would be enough communal halacha of when you have one space and another, how to deal with the changing from one space to another. So we said that this, again, there's two types of isurim that we call oitzah. One is when you move something from one domain to another, from a private to a public, where the public is the right of the rabbanon and the opposite. Now, the other case is within the public space that you carry it more than 4 amas. Something that you are carrying, in other words, something that is not bottled to the goof, it's not your clothing, it's not jewelry, and now you walk with that item more than 4 amas, that is considered ha'avara birshus A rabbim, Abba Amos Rishosarabim, if carried it more than four Amos Rishosarabim, that would be also, that would be the second type of, that would apply also in a Karmelis, but that would just mean that it's the Rabbanon. So if you hold that 600,000 people creating traffic on a thoroughfare is a necessary criteria in order to define an area as a Rishosarabim according to the Torah, so, therefore, if it's lacking the 600,000, then it would only be an Issa Derabbanan. So, Beit Shemesh, where this whole city doesn't have 600,000, never mind that you don't have a street that has such traffic. So, according to that, the city of Beit Shemesh would be, according to all opinions, not according to all opinions, according to the opinions that require this definition in order to make it a Shusha of Daraisa, everybody will tell you that Beit Shemesh is a Shusha of Derabbanan, and if there was no Eruv, then the issue of carrying a Beit Shemesh would be a Derabbanan issue, not a Daraisa. What does it make a difference if it's Derabbanan or Daraisa? Both cases are also when we don't allow it. The answer would be in extenuating circumstances when you want to need, when you need a heter. For example, if you want a goy to push a stroller or wheelchair out into the Shusarabim, so if you hold that it's Derabbanan, then the Mokam Hatzorich, the Mokam Mitzvah, if there's a need, so then you could get a goy to do it because that would become a shvus to shvus. Okay, so that was just to sum up where we're holding until now. Now we continue into how to deal with Rishus HaYachid. Now, interestingly enough, you would think anything which has to do with Rishus HaYachid has no issurim, there's no problems involved, but we'll see. So number one is Rishus HaYachid. If it is owned by one person, even though there are multiple tenants in the area, but they're all somich on the balabais, that means you have a home with parents, a husband, there's a wife, there's children, everybody has, some people have their own rooms, and you could consider the rooms their own domain. Nevertheless, we treat the house as one large domain that is owned by the parents, owned by the father, the mother, whatever the case may be, parents, but it's with the children, even though they're over the age of bar mitzvah, and they have their own room, and you consider it anachity perhaps as their own domain, we do not say that. We said the house is considered as one single entity, and therefore within that entity there's absolutely no problem to carry from one room to another. You know that, but we need to state that because you can see there's going to be difference. So too, if you have two rishuyos, you have two private domains, but they belong to the same person. So as long as there is no break between them, there's no other domain that divides them. For example, if a person owns two apartments, if he owns the apartments and they are interleading, so to carry through from one apartment to the other is not a problem. But if there would be a staircase and he has to carry it through the public staircase in order to get it to his second apartment, that would be a separate story. So if a person owns two private rishuyos and he can carry from one to the other, there's a possibility of going from one to the other without having to go into a third party rishus, then that is permissible. So therefore, if a person has a home, in front of the home he has a private yard, behind the home he has a private garden, and he owns both of them, and we all consider the whole thing one large rishus. So you own, as it is in suburbia, you have a house on a lot, and the lot is fenced in, it has proper mechitzas because it didn't apply, and now you want to carry from the garden to the house to the yard, etc., that is no problem. But if you have a area that divides the two private domains, and the area is not owned solely by the person who owns the private domain, but rather it's owned by partners, multiple people, so then you cannot carry from one house to another. As we said, the person owns, or it doesn't, when we talk about owning over here, it doesn't have to mean that you are the actual owner and have the titles to the apartment. We mean that you are the balabais, considered the balabais at least for Shabbos purposes. I mean, if you are renting and you are now the home occupier, the tenant, then also for Shabbos purposes, it's your house. It's where you live, it's your private domain, where you eat, and therefore that's considered private. So when I say own, I don't literally mean that you physically own it on a financial point of view. I mean own it from a Shabbos point of view. And therefore, if you have a person who owns two apartments or rents two apartments Or even if you would say that you have your apartment and you have a neighbor's apartment, but your neighbor has gone away and you've now taken over his apartment for Shabbos, and now you are, so to speak, the owner of that apartment, halachically speaking, for Shabbos. So now you want to carry from that apartment to your apartment. That is a problem because you have to go through the staircase. The staircase is a separate entity. Although it is not a Rosh Hashanah, not considered as public space, nor is it considered a Kamaris. It has the definitions of Rosh Hashanah, but it's a Rosh Hashanah that's owned by a different owner. Whether the owner is one or multiple, it's a different owner. And therefore, you cannot carry out of your apartment the staircase, nor from the staircase into your apartment. So therefore, even if you have two apartments for one building, you cannot carry from one to the other if you have to go through the public staircase. Unless you made an Eruv Chatzeres. An Eruv Chatzeres, what does it mean? Well, Eruv Chatzeres is when you set up an Eruv, and the way an Eruv is set up is by creating a halachic status that is all owned as one joint entity. You take the food and you put it in one apartment and the food belongs to everybody and everybody has, so to speak, rights to go and eat that food, and therefore they're all now considered as one halachic entity for Shabbos. So that's how an Eruv is made, that you convert all the individual private areas with together the public areas to one large joint area. So in a city like Beit Shemesh, we have an Eruv. So the Eruv has created that anybody who lives within the Eruv is all part of a syndicate, so to speak, where we have a piece of food that we all jointly own. That food is placed somewhere, sometimes placed in a shul or in a rabbi's house. And because of that, everybody who joins in the Eruv, everybody is considered as being a partner in this area. And there's no separate owners. It's not like this is my house and this is your house. For Shabbos purposes, we are all co-owners. As I said, it doesn't mean that you can come in and steal something that belongs to you and say, well, I own your apartment, I'd like to sleep by you tonight. But for Shabbos purposes, we are considered co-owners of the domain, that it's not considered separate owners. This is it's all derabon on these ideas. They have reasons given, we'll discuss another time. But generally speaking, we don't carry from a private domain to another private domain that's owned by a separate person. When you make an Eruv, it considers having been owned jointly together, which we'll see has a lot of nachkaminas when you're in public buildings like hospitals and hotels, etc. And how did I didn't pay towards the Eruv. I didn't buy any box of matzahs or anything, but they use the lashon of zochin. So the rabbi will take usually the minig is like a box of matzahs. If you take anything that spoils, and once it's spoiled, your Eruv becomes invalid. So to take a piece of bread will be a problem because after a while those stay on, no longer edible. Matzahs has a long shelf life. It's just a practicality. So the rabbi usually does a Pesach, they do it once a year. They renew the Eruv, they take a box of matzahs, and he does what's considered zochin, the Adam Shalagaponov, hands over the matzahs to someone else and tells that someone else to acquire, to be koine these matzahs on behalf of all the residents within the Eruv area. And since this is a schus for a person, meritus, so the Chazal tell us that the kinyan works without my presence being there or without my knowledge about it, only for my gain and not for me to lose anything. And therefore he is mezakeh to us, and then he makes the Eruv into the nusach and puts it down, he keeps it there, and that's how the Eruv. So, in a place. So therefore, Beit Shemesh, if you're in the Eruv, so then all the public spaces have already been included in the Eruv, so I have no problem of carrying from my apartment to my neighbor's apartment, or even if I have two apartments, say a building, I can carry from one to the other, because I did do an Eruv. Now, even though I didn't physically go set up an Eruv, but I'm relying on the fact that the rabbi set up the Eruv and set up for the whole city, which includes the staircases and all the buildings. But in places where there's no Eruv, so if you have a building and all the tenants of the building are Eden, it's going into a separate story, we'll do that separately. But for now, we're discussing where all the tenants of the building are Eden. So even if all the tenants of the building are Jewish, since you're having different types of private domains, each apartment is owned individually, the staircase is owned jointly, So taking from one private domain to another is problematic on Shabbos, and therefore, even if you own two apartments, if you have to go through the staircase, you cannot do such a thing because you cannot take it out from your apartment into the staircase, nor from the staircase into your apartment. Therefore, if you live in an area where there's an aerial, or you don't rely on the aerial, and you have your stroller in the staircase, you can't bring the stroller into the house. Or you can't take your garbage and put it outside your front door to bring it down later. Also very problematic at this point. Maybe a problem of being out of the chavera, to stick your garbage outside your front door and let everybody else smell the dirty diapers so that you can have a clean smelling apartment, but that would be for Shion ben out of the chavera. So this follows on the same halacha, that to carry from two apartments where they are of different ownership would also be a problem. Therefore, if you have, let's say, your mepeset is adjacent to your neighbor's mepeset, and you want to throw something over the dividing wall from your mepeset to mepeset, if you don't have an eruv, you cannot do that. You cannot take something out of your house and put it into someone else's or the other way around, because again, you're not taking it from what's one place which is yours to another place which is yours, but rather from one place which is yours to a private place which is someone else's without an eruv, you don't allow it. Another example of a practicality of this, if you have a building, downstairs you have the mailbox. Mailbox, you have your Shabbos magazine, and you want to bring it upstairs. It was delivered on Friday, and you're doing it in. Now, Shabbos morning, I want to read the magazine. You cannot bring the magazine home because you cannot allow the magazine to cross over from the public place to the private. Now, what's interesting is that at the end of the day, a staircase or any other jointly owned area, although we don't take from our home into there or from there into our home, but as of itself, it is considered a shusayachi. Therefore, just like I can carry from one room in my house to another room in my house, I can carry from the living room to the bedroom to the kitchen, so too in a public area, if it has proper mechitzas, make it into a shusayachi, I can carry through, I don't mean public shusarat, publicly owned, the joint area, then I can carry throughout the joint area as long as I don't then take it to the private. So, if I have my magazine in the mailbox, so I can carry the magazine up to my front door. I can't bring it in, but I can carry it to my front door. Or, if my staircase is adjoining my parking lot, and the parking area of my building has mechitzas around it, I mean, it's not just an open area, but it actually has physical walls around it, or halachic walls around it, so then I can carry out, so I can take my child downstairs. When the child leaves the house, they have to walk out the house, but you can't carry from your house to the staircase. If the child walks out the door, then you can carry the child downstairs, put them in a stroller, and you can walk them up down the chaniya. Not a problem, Shabbos, because within this area, the jointly owned area is a Rishus HaYachid, and within Rishus HaYachid, you can carry freely. Just that you cannot cross over from a jointly owned area to a private area. Within the area you can carry. Not only that, if you have two jointly owned areas next to each other and they're owned by different owners, you treat them as jointly owned areas and you can carry from one to another. So if you have the chaniya of your building and the chaniya of the building next door, and there's a proper mechitza around them, and there's no eruv, you can push the stroller from your chaniya to your neighbor's chaniya. You're staying within the jointly owned areas, even though you've changed ownerships. But with that introduction again, when we have something which is owned by one person, we cannot move it out of his domain into a jointly owned area, or even if it's privately owned by someone else, unless you have a name. So you can't take something from your house to your neighbor's house, whether directly or indirectly, whether direct straight from yours to his, or from yours to his via the staircase on Shabbos. What would be, obviously, if you make an eruv, it solves all the problems. What would be if you have a building, which has multiple tenants, but the general area is owned by one entity? For example, you have a hotel, which is really owned by someone, and everybody else is a guest there, guest or employee. What about if you have a hospital, old age home, an army camp? You have a camp that has proper fence around it, and barracks, and who knows what, where all the soldiers stay, but it is owned by the army and is commanded by the army. What will be the deen of such a place? Do you treat it as one large domain, or do you treat it as individual, that everybody who has their room, that room is their private? So in a hotel, do you say that you cannot carry from your room into the hallway, because your room is your private domain for Shabbos, and the hallway belongs commonly, or belongs to the hotel. Therefore, you carrying from your room to the hallway would be a problem unless you had an eruv in the hotel. So you go away to the hotel for Shabbos, and if they haven't made an eruv, you might have a problem of carrying from your room to the passageway, or taking something back from it into or out of the dining room into your room would also be a problem. So what's the din is that if it is managed by a single person, or it's a single family, but managed by a single entity, whether the person is the owner or an employee, and the person who's managing it lives on the property, and not only that, he lives on the property and he is there permanently. He lives and eats on the property on a permanent basis. So then we're going to say the following. If everybody eats together in a common area, on the general whole, this doesn't have to be every single time that everybody eats in the dining room. Since the dining room is a place for everybody to eat, so they're all considered as guests and not owners, and therefore you can carry throughout the whole building. So generally that is the case in a hotel. Although you're allowed, there are suites where you can make food in your own suite and you can eat in your own suite, but generally speaking, the main meals are eaten in the dining room. Therefore we say that the whole hotel becomes one single rishus, and there's no problem of carrying out the hotel passageway. Even if it will be a case where people are eating their own food, they have paid for their own food, they've prepared their own food, but they eat it in the common area, that also is enough to join them together as one large area, and you don't need an eruv. If you have one person who does not participate in the common meals, and he eats in his own room all the meals, so then it depends on what type of tenant. In other words, you have a hotel, would be an example, and you have one guest who always eats his meals. He has his own food and he eats his own meals in his room, and he never goes to the dining room. If he is a temporary guest, temporary is under 30 days, then the fact that he decides to stay in his room doesn't affect us, and the rest of the hotel remains one rishus because we're considered as everybody being guests of the owner of the hotel. If he's here on a more permanent basis, which we say is more than 30 days, then he is considered as a separate tenant. And normally you have a building with two tenants, the manager of the hotel, with this one person. Once you have two tenants, then we treat each place as a separate entity, and therefore the joint areas you cannot carry from the joint areas to the private areas, and therefore you would need an eruv in such a facility. So this could be in a hospital as well. If you have someone with a long-term illness, or in a geriatric where a person is put in for a couple of a long time, and he's not someone who can go and join the public meals and he's always in his private area, probably there will be different excuse from the institution. It's not his own private. But I have to think of an example. Maybe on a military base where he has some permanent force member keeps to himself. So then you would need an eruv in order to consider the area all one. However, there's an exception to the rule. And that is, even if you have a person who's here on a permanent basis in longer than 30 days, and he keeps to himself, he doesn't use the public area, and therefore he generally would consider it as a separate entity, and therefore you would need an eruv to include him and therefore allow the carrying of the product in the public space. If the owner of the facility, the manager of the facility, keeps his own utensils, vessels, or whatever it is inside this person's private room, and they're the type of vessels that he cannot take out of Shabbos if it looks too big, and they were not put there for the private use of the person, and therefore, then we say that the owner has retained a right to that person's room, and therefore he does not become a individual. So, if you have a hotel room, for example, where the hotel management keeps a corner of the room to keep some of their own stuff, which has nothing to do with the guests, then it's as if that the hotel management has retained trespassing rights into this area, and therefore doesn't get defined as a separate individual unit, and therefore it remains one whole unit. That is when you have a building with a building where there is a manager or an owner that lives permanently on site. If you don't have that, people who stay in the building are all the guests, and the owner is not, he lives separately. So then it depends on whether they eat together or don't eat together. If they eat together, then they're considered as one group, and therefore there's no separate entities carried throughout the hotel or whichever facility you're dealing with. In a retirement home, it would be more practical, where there's much more self-catering in a retirement home. Whereas if each of the members of this facility are in their own, keep to their own rooms, chambers in order to eat, so then we consider them as separate entities, you would need an ARUC to carry it. So if you have, as I said, a retirement home where essentially it's a facility, it is a dining room, the possibility of people going where they are, some couples, individuals who prefer to take their meals in their room and cook their own food and all the rest, so they would then make the facility into a place of multiple individuals and not just a collection, a collective, and then it would require an ARUC. It's interesting if you have such a facility or you have such a situation where everybody eats together but one person is alone. So we say that the one person can cause a situation that he is now an entity on his own and therefore requires an ARUC. If he goes away for Shabbos, then just because this is his status, but once he's away for Shabbos, he doesn't affect us. And the Shabbos that he's gone, then the facility reverts back to being common ground all over, and you don't need an ARUC. Even if he leaves for Shabbos, and now the place reverts back to common ground, and then he changes his mind and he comes back, so at that moment, he's considered a temporary resident, not a permanent resident, because he really wants to go for Shabbos, but he changed his mind. So for this Shabbos, he's considered temporary. But one more thing I want to mention for today is a shul. A shul is generally referred to as an area where there is no living space. And therefore, even though you have inside and outside, you have the sanctuary and you have side rooms and shear rooms at the hall and the yard and the front and the back and all the rest, we consider the whole thing to one large area. There's no main private area or main eating area. We consider the shul to be a one large commonly owned area. Therefore, there is no problem, as long as there are proper mechitzas, for example, around the yard, there's no problem of carrying throughout the whole property, and also from the various parts of the property from one to another. You can carry from the yard to the hall, to the inside, from the inside from the hall to the shul. There's no problem at all with such one large entity. Unless it happens to be that the shul has on it residential apartments, and even then, it depends on how many there are. Enough. In the town where my mother grew up, the shul there does have two residential apartments. One was in use for the rabbi and one was the caretaker. But then you would have a problem that the building now has two individual apartments. If it had one individual apartment, it wouldn't be a problem. But now that it has two individual apartments, so therefore the common spaces are now common spaces, the private spaces are separate private spaces, so then they would have to make an ARUC to carry out of those individual apartments to the common area. There will be a separate story, and in that particular case, the janitor, as far as he's not Jewish, and then you get the further halachic shadows of what's going on if it's not Jewish, that we will deal with the latest. So, to sum up, we've said that private domain is permitted to carry without, within the whole domain, you can carry from one area to another of a private domain without a problem, but you cannot cross over from private to common. I don't mean public, I mean that it's owned by other people, whether it's individually owned or individually owned to commonly owned. That means you can't carry from your house to your neighbor's house, you can't carry from your house to the staircase unless you make an ARUC. You can carry from two places that you personally own, as long as you don't go through something else. And when you have multiple people, so they're possible.